First reading's from Psalm 103, and it's the whole of Psalm 103. I'm sorry, I don't know the numbers in the Bibles and the pews. A Psalm of David. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who hear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
The second reading comes from 1 John 3, verses 16 to 24, and is found on page 1209. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is then how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence, whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us.
Friends, in my life, there's been heartache and pain. I don't know if I can face it again. I can't stop now. I've travelled so far to change this lonely life. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. I want to feel what love is. I know you can show me. Oh, the words of a 1984 song by the group called Foreigner. Yeah, Foreigner. The declaration there from the lead singer of this British-American band in 1984 was that he wanted to know what love is. He wanted to know what real love is, we all do, love is as important to life as air is to our lungs. I go to boot camp a couple of times a week. It's a lot of fun. And what we do is exercise, and we have music playing at the same time. And people are invited to bring along a playlist each week. We haven't yet found a playlist that everyone likes. Some people will love a song and other people will hate it. The same song. When it comes to music, it's impossible to find complete agreement at church or anywhere else. But who doesn't love love? We all love love. We look for it. We live for it. We need it. Christians are on about love, true love. All Saints North Epping is on about love. Here is our vision statement over here. It summarizes the three loves. We're a Bible-based community being transformed by Jesus' love, devoted to loving one another, and committed to impacting the world with Jesus' love. This vision statement, if you count it up, it's only 25 words long, but in this day of abbreviated language, BTW, LOL, we could reduce that vision statement here at All Saints North Epping from 25 to just one word. The central word is love. What we're on about here at All Saints North Epping as a Christian church is we're on about love. Welcome here today. If you are new or visiting today, it is terrific to have you with us on this Reconnect Sunday. This morning we'll look from the Bible to see what real love looks like. Two big questions for us this morning. Firstly, what is real love? And secondly, what impact should it have on our lives? Now, we will not exhaust these topics over the next few minutes that we have, but my prayer is that we'll understand a little more this morning from God's word about just how critical understanding these questions are. So the first question, what is real love? The Bible shows us so much about what love is. It is a very different picture, a different definition from what the world says. In 1 John 3, the passage that was read for us just a moment ago, we see in verse 16, if you've got it there in front of you, verse 16, this is 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. This is a key verse for us. Not a difficult verse to kind of remember the reference, is it? John 3:16 is perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible. This is not it. This is 1 John 3:16. It shows us what real love is. And we see what real love is by looking at Jesus, the only perfect human being who ever lived. God's only begotten Son, the one who was love and showed us a perfect picture of love. In the next chapter, you'll see it there on page 1209, chapter 4 of 1 John, we read in verse 10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he, that is God, loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, he writes, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. To atone for sins, that's kind of a technical biblical word. It means to pay the price for sins, to pay the penalty that our sins deserve. And instead of us paying that price, God in his love sent Jesus to pay that price for us. Jesus was the one who suffered and died on the cross. And through his suffering and death, he paid that penalty to atone for our sins. Such was God's extraordinary love for us, for me, for you, that he sent his Son to die for us, so that we could be reconciled to him fully and eternally. This is the good news of the Bible. This is what we call the gospel. Our key verse this morning has the same idea. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus laid down his life for us. He literally gave his life. He literally died for us so that we might live and live to the full, reconciled to God. So verse 16 provides an answer for us for our first question. What is real love? Brings us on to our second question. Knowing what real love is, what impact should that have on our lives? Well, verse 16 actually provides us an answer to that question as well. See there in the second half of verse 16, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Jesus literally, physically laid down his life. He died for us. And in response, the Bible is instructing us, verse 16, see what it says? To lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. What does that mean in practice? Are we to literally die for our brothers and sisters? That seems to be what the words are saying, doesn't it? Many of you know that for nearly 7 years, Kathy and I and our children lived in Nairobi, Kenya. In Nairobi, there are different security challenges to what we enjoy here in Sydney. As a result, we needed to have what would be considered quite extraordinary security measures in place in the house where we lived. In addition to the 3-meter-high barbed wire fence, we had a 9,000-volt electric fence, and we had our resident security guard, and we had our security dogs, and we had steel bars in all the windows, and we had steel doors outside all the steel doors, and we had a contract with an emergency response security company. The way this works was that in each of our bedrooms, we had a button that if we pushed it, then the emergency response group would turn up. We also had a couple of mobile ones that you could hang around your neck if you're walking in rooms where you thought there wasn't going to be a button or something like that, or walking out in the yard. And then if you push the button, then in a few minutes, this emergency response security company would show up in their armored vehicle. When I say armored vehicle, what I mean is a van, but they'd welded like Rio across the windscreen so that you couldn't bash it in with a club or something like that. And these guys would come. Every month, they would come to our house and they would check the functioning of the buttons to make sure that when you pushed it, when you needed to, it was actually connecting then to the home base, and then the security people would come. Well, one day early in my stay there, I asked the security guy who came, I said, what do you actually do if we push the button? You're sitting in this vehicle. He got out and walked around to the front of the van and pointed to the bullet holes in the van. And he said, we will rob you. Said, I'm sorry. He said, we will rob you. You need to understand that for many Kenyans, when they're speaking English, they get L's and R's confused. He was saying, we will love you. We'll take a bullet for you. Wow. As Christians, then, when we come to this passage and it calls us, not for some white guy living in the suburbs in Nairobi, but out of response to the gospel to lay down our lives. What does that mean? We are blessed to live in a safe country in Australia in 2019. It would be extraordinarily unlikely that any of us will literally be called to lay down our life for Jesus in order to fulfill his mandate to us to love one another. But what will it look like? When we follow Jesus, his love becomes our love. It will mean that we will love others sacrificially. And the essence of that is that that will be costly. John writes in verse 17 that one indicator of real Christian love will be our generosity to others in need, using, as he calls it there, our material possessions to bless others. We now live as part of a global community. It's not difficult at all to identify places where our Christian brothers and sisters around the world are in need of material possessions. Additionally, though, as we open our eyes, we're aware of awful tragedies around the world, injustices that are occurring, human trafficking and abuse of children and starving children and genocide and refugees. And whether we see these things on our high-definition TVs or see them with our own eyes, it nevertheless should impact us. It should break our hearts and lead us to a response. Out of love for God, we will want to act in love and generosity. That is to be human, and that is to be Christian. In words reminiscent of the Apostle James that we looked at last year, John goes on to write in verse 18, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." John's insistence is that we love not just with our mouths by what we say, as important as that is, but with actions and in truth. We've all heard the expression, I'm sure, words are cheap, but they don't have to be. The emphasis here, though, in 1 John 3:18, is that our actions should be consistent with our loving words, loving and truthful words and actions all working together. We mustn't let hypocrisy be our Christian Achilles heel, where people can point on the outside to an inconsistency between what we say and what we do. As Christians, we must love. We're called to not just understand what true love is, but to lay down our lives for one another. So here's my follow-up question this morning from this passage. Once we know what love is and understand what real love, how it must impact our lives, let's ask ourselves the question, what is the most loving thing that we can do for a person? It's a good question, isn't it? The answer would surely be to meet their greatest need. What's the most loving thing we can do? Well, that would be to meet their greatest need. And of course, we are to have regard to a person's material needs and physical needs. So we could generously help in those things. And I think if we open our eyes, then we can see the needs around us. One of our linked churches, of course, is Greenacre, and there they have a food van that happens each week. Anglicare is working with them there to distribute food to the needy. Even in our local area, though, we can identify people who, for various reasons, could be helped out with food or transport or lifts from here and there, or maybe they need their lawns mowed or something like that. I'm sure we can creatively think through how we might meet those physical needs. But also to provide love for them might look like actually just spending time. That might be a great need. Spend time to care for them, to meet with them, to listen to them, to pray with them. But friends, let me remind you, the greatest need of every human being is Jesus and the forgiveness of sins he offers. Real love is found in Christ alone. At All Saints, you will find real love. As the gospel is proclaimed, as sinners turn to him in repentance and faith, and come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. In Christ, we can understand what real love is. In a world that so craves love, but so rarely sees it, Christians can know it and live it and show it. Because we, if we are in Christ, have been and are being transformed by the one who loved us first. Love is the greatest challenge and the greatest privilege for human beings alone. Now, I know we think our pets love us, but I think if we drill down a bit, they're really utilitarian, right? It's only that we feed them. That's why they look at us with those big eyes and, right? But human beings, we know what love is. As humans, to love is the task for which other tasks are but preparation. It's a huge challenge. Jesus commanded his followers to love one another. But our ingrained egocentricity and the fact that lots of people aren't really very lovely to us makes this really hard. On a good day, I think most of us can sum up a bit of liking, a few warm feelings, a positive disposition towards others, an occasional selfless act. But a consistent life of love, that seems beyond the pale. That seems out of reach. 1 John 4:19, John writes this, "We love because God first loved us." Meaning that we love other people as Christians because God first showed us that extraordinary love through the Lord Jesus. See the flow of logic in our vision statement. It is because God first loved us that we love others. Our love is to be a reflection of God's love for us in Christ. By deeply reflecting upon the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, we can start to appreciate the depth of love that God has for us and help pass that on to others and give it back to God himself. Real love comes to us not by trying really hard to feel loving, but by thankfully remembering what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus. I think our first challenge in love is not that we don't love God and others enough, but that we don't realize just how much God loves us. We remember, we read a few moments ago, Psalm 103. I can't remember the page number, but if you flick back there, I just want to read a few verses from you there about God's character in Psalm 103. Verse 8 says this, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." God's love knows no bounds. When we come to him in repentance and faith, he forgives us our sins. He removes them from our account completely. I looked it up. The distance from the North Pole to the South Pole is 13,832 kilometers. It's a long way. But God, in his love, removes our sins even further than that. The expression is not as far as the north is from the south, but as far as the east is from the west. If you keep going east, you never get to the west. God's loving kindness and compassion are limitless. I think if this wasn't true, we would live in a state of depression most of our lives. We would constantly wonder if God is about to strike us down because of our sin. We would hesitate to come to him in prayer, believing that he really didn't want to see us or hear from us. Or we'd be thinking our sins are too great for God to handle, that somehow his love was insufficient or it's conditional. We would cower away from him, feeling covered in guilt. We would think of him only as a hard, angry judge whose laws have been offended. But that's not the character of God of the Bible. We see there the character that God is love, and he forgives us in Christ. So we can get up feeling renewed and refreshed every morning, remembering God's loving kindness and compassion towards us, that his love and forgiveness knows no limits. Friends, God is ready to meet with you and to renew you spiritually and to cleanse you. You have been made in his image. You are his daughter, or you are his son. You may have offended him deeply, but you are still his child and he loves you deeply. And he wants to renew the closeness of your walk with him, and that is exactly why he sent his only son to die for you, so that you and I can be forgiven for our sins and reconciled to him and know true eternal love. Now, we've all got more to learn about God's love for us, so can I make a couple of suggestions to you as we begin this new year? The first is that our Bible fellowship groups are beginning, and if you're not in a Bible fellowship group, then I want to warmly invite you to join one of our groups. It's where you will have Bible. You'll learn more from God's Word about his character and his love for you. But also there'll be fellowship there with other Christians who will want to bless you, want to fellowship with you, want to love you. The second thing I want to bring to your attention is to warmly invite you to come to our Christianity Explored course, which is called Life Explored. It's planning to start here next Wednesday. If you haven't been to that course before, if you've got questions about Christianity, you want to understand more clearly God's amazing love for you, then come along to that course. Talk to Tom, who's leading this morning. He'd be very happy to talk to you about that. God is reminding us today, he loves you, truly loves you. Let me take you back as we finish to our key verse this morning, 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So verse 18, let us not love others just with words, but with actions and in truth. John summarizes in verse 23, when we know what real love is and the impact it should have on our lives, knowing the character of God, this is his command, verse 23. To believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. Let's pray. Our gracious God and heavenly Father, thank you that you do love us. Thank you for your extraordinary love. Thank you that through you, we can know what real love is. Father, thank you that we see real love most clearly through the Lord Jesus Christ, who, having lived the perfect life, laid down his life for us. Father, help us this year to grow in our love for you, to believe more deeply in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as an outworking of that, to love one another as you have commanded us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.